Hello, church family. I do appreciate the good welcome that Amy and I received. It's good to feel that. You come to a new place, don't know many folks, although I found out that I do know some, even from when I was just a little kid. It's good to have that kind of a welcome. And I don't know if most visiting preachers do this, but I asked the elders, do you all have anything you would like me to speak on? And I believe it's important to ask for guidance from the eldership as far as what the flock's going to be fed. So that's where the Bible class came from this morning. And then today, the sermon is why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. The simplest answer we can find by looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. The simplest answer begins thusly. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Those who were being saved are referred to the first time as the church in the future tense. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said he would build his church. They are referred to later in the present tense in Acts chapter 5 and verse 11. The group of believers were called the church. And so the simplest answer as to why I'm a member of the church is because when we choose to follow God, when we emerge from the waters of baptism, we are a new creature and the Lord adds us to his church. In our present day and time and in our nation, that falls a little bit flat. Because we live in a nation, and this is really what the sermon is going to address, we live in a nation where choices are so important. All the way back with Burger King, have it your way. My, that was a success in this nation. And people want that with their religion. And so, if we were to talk about it as if it were really a choice, why do I choose to be a member of the Church of Christ? We're going to look at three answers to that. The first of which is, we are members of the Church of Christ because it is the only way to be in Christ. Sometimes there are options. Sometimes there are workarounds. Anybody own an older vehicle? 1980s model or older? That was my first car, 1986 Plymouth Caravelle. And that thing ran. It ran and ran and ran. It was held together mostly with Bondo and a little bit of rust and some baling wire, and that thing ran. If there was a mechanical problem, give me a set of wrenches, a hammer, and a drill. We'll fix it and we'll make it go. I remember the bumper came off on one of our cars. We found a way to attach it back without buying a new bumper. Used to be like that. Those of you who have newer vehicles, which it's a blessing to have them, but those of you who have newer vehicles know that there are no more options in working on your vehicle. If you can change the oil on a vehicle today without taking it into a dealership, you're doing well. Everything is very specific. Everything is modulized. Everything is done on the computer, and it takes a trained hand to be able to do that. Someone who's taken classes and been taught the way it should be done. Being a part of the church is like that. And as opposed to working on automobiles, there is no workaround. There is no other way to be in Christ. It is exclusively the way to keep our spiritual life operating correctly. It's the only way to be in Christ. We can't tinker around and get there. We have to do it the way that is prescribed. There are some passages about being in Christ that lend us toward this thinking. Romans 6:23 we talked about in class this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And where is it? In Christ Jesus our Lord. What a benefit. That would sell me right there. I want eternal life, and I want to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1, another wonderful passage. Now, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that sounds pretty good. That would lead anyone to say, well, yes, I want to be free of condemnation. I want to be in Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:2, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Look at the wonderful, beautiful, powerful terminology and language. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. To those who have been sanctified, and there it is, in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. That verse links it. Why am I a member of the church of Christ? Because that's the only way to be in Christ. The members of the church in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, are those who are called who are in Christ. Well, that's a wonderful state in which to exist. John chapter 10 verses 7 through 9 reads this way. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Well, I want to be in Christ because I want to be saved. Matthew 7:21 through 23 is some information that Jesus disclosed. That there are going to be those who think they have the relationship with Christ, but there are stricter parameters than many realize. And we're going to talk about that verse a little bit later in our message this morning. To be in Christ, though, is the earmarked phrase in the Scripture that promises so many benefits. The forgiveness of sin, spiritual provision. The point of it is, being in Christ equals being in the church, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. That's why I'm a member of the church of Christ. I hope that's why you are too. We choose to be members of the church of Christ in our nation of choices. We choose because we seek to be in Him. We want that relationship, and being a member of His church is the only way to have it. That's the first reason why in our nation of over 30,000 denominations that all speak different truths when it comes to salvation, and none of them agree with each other. That's why we need to be a member of the Church of Christ. The second reason is that being in Christ is the only way to the Father. We'll build on that first reason and take it a step further. There was a man who had a piece of land, and there was great hunting on it. He would go out every season and be able to hunt pretty much whatever he wanted. Whatever was in season, he could find it out there. It was a wonderful, beautiful, pristine hunting ground, almost untouched by human hands. But one day, he was out on his land, and the barbed wire fence had been damaged. And an old door had been thrown on top of the barbed wire, as well as some rags and some old cloths. And it was obvious by the boot prints in the mud on the other side that somebody had hopped the fence into his land. And he followed the tracks. And he found evidence of hunting, the remnants of different kills, poaching out of season. A man called the authorities. They met him out on his land. They knew the man well. He was always honorable. And he said, someone's out here and they don't belong here. And there are his boot prints in the mud. I bet you we can find him. Just then a shot rang out. And he and the police followed those tracks and found the man up in a tree. He was removed from the land. He was charged for trespassing and poaching. Matthew chapter 22, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. And they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat and livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them." If you're thinking about the Jewish relationship to the prophets right now, you're thinking the right way. Jesus is telling one honey of a parable right here. "But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves," see, the wedding feast is still ready. "He said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. He said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The first time I read that passage, I didn't understand. A little probing into the historical customs of the day, though, cleared it up. At a wedding feast, the garments were handed out at the door. So when you attended a wedding feast, you were given a brand new, pristine, beautiful garment, and everybody in there was dressed the same way. Does that sound familiar, church? Everybody was dressed the same way. And when the master came and he saw someone who was not clothed in that garment, meaning they didn't show up by the door, they tried to get in a different way, and they didn't belong, that person was removed. If you're thinking about passages maybe like Galatians 3:27, how they are told, how it said that they clothed themselves with Christ, you'd be thinking along the right lines. John 14:6 reads this way: "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.'" That's what we call an exception clause. It means that there's one way that this statement is not true. Without the exception clause, "but through me," the statement is, no man comes to the Father. That means Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. The story of relationships lost in Eden is tragic. But God, in His infinite mercy, provided a way for humanity to be back with Him, should we choose to do so. In Christ is the only way to be with God. Ask the question, am I in Christ? And think about these scenarios, maybe these statements you've heard uttered from people you know. "Well, I can have a relationship with God outside of the church." No, no. Because being part of the church equals being a part of Christ. And only in Christ can we have the relationship with God the Father. Maybe you've heard somebody say, "Well, I can commune with God simply by being out in nature, maybe listening to some gospel music on the radio. I can commune with God that way. I don't need the church." No. Because the church is not going to a building and singing and praying and having the Lord's Supper. That's not the church. That's what we do. The church We are the church. The church is in Christ. And in Christ is the only way to the Father. Thus, those who are in the church, those who are members of the church of Christ, are the only ones in Christ. Those in Christ are those who have put on their wedding garments. They were supplied by the master of the feast. We don't want to attempt having a relationship with God without entering through the door, without receiving our wedding clothes. We don't want to hear, "I never knew you." So first, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I choose to be a member of the Church of Christ, if we have to phrase it that way, because that's the only way to be in Christ. Second, I choose to be a part of the Church of Christ because being in Christ is the only way we can be one with the Father, be right with the Father. But thirdly, the Church of Christ is the only one, and here's where the rubber meets the road this morning. The Church of Christ is the only one that matches the Church of the New Testament. You've heard advertisements, I'm sure, that talk about, well, this is the often imitated but never duplicated article. And they go on and on to talk about how unique their product is. At first I thought, well, no. Whenever I had to start giving my own money for my own groceries, I thought, well, no, I can buy a thing kind of like that and it's just as good. You know, that's not true in some cases. Bush's baked beans. Don't give me some other weird Always Save brand that tastes kind of funny when I want those good Bush's baked beans. Often imitated, never duplicated. There's one fellow online who puts out recipes for things that are like authentic. I'm not even sure if he's done those. Often imitated, never duplicated. Sam's. Anybody like Sam's? Y'all? I'm going to give it to you straight. Sam's toilet paper. Yeah? I mean, we're going to talk about real things here, right? I thought, well, that's just a store brand, and there wasn't any other available. I bought that. It was right before COVID. And I thought, somebody's going to go crazy here. Someone's going to be nuts and try to buy up all the toilet paper. I'm going to make sure I got enough. I bought 2 cases of that stuff. And do you know what? That's the best stuff on the market. Unbelievably soft. Multiply. If you don't think that's important, you have a horrible cold one time and use some of that single ply stuff that falls apart in your hands and is so rough that if you have a mustache after blowing your nose, you won't have it anymore. Don't give me that cheap imitation stuff. Give me the real stuff. You can thank me for that later. Go out to Sam's today and buy some of that. It's wonderful. It is an even stronger truth with the one true church for which Christ died. As I've said, our nation boasts 30,000 denominations, more than about 37,000 and change denominations in the United States of America. And you will hear many times, more often than not, about the many paths to one end. I'm okay, you're okay, he's okay, she's okay. We're all okay, and we'll all sing hallelujah and kumbaya, and we'll be together in heaven. Attend the church of your choice today. None of them agree with each other. None of them agree on how you go from being lost to being saved. None of them match the biblical description, except for the church of Christ. That's the church for which Christ died. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body, church. There's one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Matthew 16, 18, we've already discussed, Jesus will build His church, not His churches, not His denominations, not His many paths to one end. Take your pick, choose what suits you. No, my church is what our Lord and Savior said. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 illustrates that very strongly. It's almost tragic. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, if you get a chance, talk to me about the difference between the many and the few. It's shocking and chilling the way the Bible uses that terminology. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Lord, Lord, didn't we go to church every Sunday? Lord, Lord, didn't we have a food drive for the homeless? Didn't we have a clothing room? Didn't we improve so many people's lives? Wasn't the world a better place because of us? Lord, Lord. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is a powerful passage. And a lot of times we shrug our shoulders, read over it, and just go on. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Disciples of what? Disciples of Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The truth of this is, if the Bible is true, is the Bible true, church? And Jesus is honest. Is Jesus honest, church? There are not many bodies or churches. There is one, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus built His church singular, not His denominations. That's Matthew 16, 18. There are those who are true disciples of Christ, and there are those who think they are, but they are not. And being sincere doesn't equal correctness. That's Matthew 7, 21 through 23. The evidence to discern the one true church has an earmark that was assigned in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which we just read. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That looks backward to the ministry of Christ and everything that He taught. Is that included in the church? Or is that church a pretender that doesn't match the teachings of Christ? And then it looks forward to the writings of Jesus' followers who founded, who were there, Acts 2. Who wrote to the churches and taught them how the church was supposed to be. And then we find out exactly what Jesus did teach. Because there's so much more in all of those letters than just in the Gospels. Does the church match that? Or are they going to be saying, Lord, Lord? The conclusion of the sermon this morning. Some sermons are long, some sermons are short. This sermon was intended to get straight to the point and answer the question, why are we members of the Church of Christ? Well, the conclusion is because being a member of Christ's church is the only way to be in Christ. Do you want to be in Christ? You have to be a member of His church. Because being in Christ is the only way to come to the Father. Do you want to come to the Father? Being in Christ's church, being in Christ is the only way. And because we only know we are in Christ by being a part of the church that matches the church of the New Testament. That is the long and short of it. That is the truth of it. This morning I humbly proclaim to you that we should not be ashamed of that. Sometimes it's okay to be exclusive. And whenever we follow what our Lord and Savior intended, we are a part of the church of Christ. The question this morning, and it's always difficult whenever you're visiting because you don't know everyone, you don't know everyone's situation. The question this morning is, are you a part of the church of Christ? Do you want to be if you're not? And that's what is on the line for the invitation today. If you're a part of the church of Christ, you have reason to rejoice. And as we're about to lift up our voices in song together in fellowship, we have something to celebrate and be thankful for. If you're not sure that you are, then this invitation song means something different to you. It means that you have a chance to find out. It means you have a chance to be included as a member of the Church of Christ. If the invitation can meet your needs this morning, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.